good?
The bad.
WTF.
Thinking.
Welcome back to the good, the bad, and the WTF, are they thinking? And it is episode 83. Yeah, 83. And it's our penultimate Halloween episode, actually, because next week is the final one.
The Halloween one.
Which we reveal all details about at the end of the podcast. It is a Halloween one. Don't say any more.
I mean, it's on Halloween.
Yeah. It is on Halloween. It is on Halloween. It's a Halloween special. Right. This week. Well, we'll start with the niceties, shall we? How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. It's been a long week, so I'm glad it's the weekend. I'm glad to wind down, I would say.
Nothing better. I feel like it's gone quite quick. Maybe that's just me. I always feel like the colder and the darker it gets, the quicker it goes. I don't know. It just feels faster. Maybe because it gets darker quicker that you're mentally, you feel like the day's gone quicker.
It does feel like spooky season. Yeah. Yesterday I went to the cinema and coming out, it was all like very ominous and very creepy.
Wet and cold and windy. Yeah.
And it was bad outside too.
Good times. Hey. Someone watched it in 3DX. Is that a 3DX joke?
You can actually... Yeah, it is
a 3DX joke. A 4DX. 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 So you saw the latest Halloween, but we'll talk about
not
that
in 4DX
time.
Though. I couldn't imagine anything.
Not in 4DX.
I couldn't imagine anything not more scarier than being rocked about on a seat while watching a horror movie. I don't think that works.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I feel like the same. Although saying that, some of the Halloween movies may have been brightened up by that experience. But less said, the better for now. We'll talk about some news that's floating about. We haven't really got much of an intro. We've become kind of unprepared here.
I had long days. Weeks.
Yeah.
And nothing's happened.
Long weeks, long
nothing's
days.
Nothing's really happened in the world. Well, in like the political world. And the sporting world, but not a lot in the movie world.
Do we want to talk about the political world?
I don't think we're equipped. I don't think we're equipped to understand that. Are we?
No, yeah. We're definitely not equipped to understand. To understand, yeah, but to really give an opinion on a public podcast, I'd prefer not to.
Keep our political views aside.
This is a political-free podcast.
But
we're
fuck
talking
Trump.
About movies. But, fuck Trump and fuck Boris Johnson. Anyway, we'll move on to the Safdie brothers.
Yes. Fuck them too.
Linking up.
Just Benny.
The other one's fine. Josh is fine.
What's wrong with Benny? Well, because he acts.
I know. He's just got one of those faces.
He doesn't like it because he can act too. You're like, come on, you're going to be bad at something. You're a good actor, you're a good writer, you're a good director. Screw you.
They both look a bit nerdy, don't they?
You can't judge.
They're linking up. I mean, to be fair, the last movie they did was Uncut Gems. We say they're linking up again with Adam Sandler. They are literally doing another movie with him straight off the bat. For some reason, I thought they'd made a movie after Uncut Gems.
Well, they made that short, didn't they? Gold Man versus Silver Man, which we did rank. Or at least I ranked. It's in our ranking.
Oh, we're talking about... short movies. We're talking about features.
But I mean, they still made it with Adam Sandler. I hate when you piss on short movies. Like they don't. They're not good enough.
Movies.
They don't exist. It's like it's good. Leave it alone. It's like it's the length it needs to be.
I suppose it is the length it needs to be. But I don't know. I consider them little tiny passion projects, whereas. You know, this is a feature movie. Adam Sandler, Safdie brothers, and apparently it is about card collecting.
I like Pokemon
cards.
We
are staying in the world of gambling. No, we're talking big boy shit. We're staying in that realms. So, very little details have been released about this apart from that. It's untitled. We don't know when it's going to come out. All we know is it's with Netflix. Adam Sandler's pulled out his Netflix contact and pulled out his Safdie brothers contact, married them together, and we will have this
movie. I've always wondered, and I don't know, maybe I need to like look into this, but do you reckon the Safdies work the same way that Mike Lee works? That it's a lot of their stuff is quite unscripted, ad-libbed? Because it always feels quite natural when you think of Uncut Gems. It's quite natural, all the acting that's going on, all the dialogue. It doesn't feel... It feels so effortlessness that it just feels it like it's just being said instead of being read out of a script, if you know what I mean.
I'd have to agree with that. It does feel
authentic,
very organic in the way it is.
Yeah, organic is a good word.
But I feel like Uncut Gems, there probably was a lot of improvisation, but I feel like because the scenes were so calculated and so fast paced and intense that I wouldn't feel like you would have too much time to be able to improv in some of those scenes. They weren't really sit down scenes that you could like keep a long shot on and drag out. They were very much like everything is happening quite a million miles an hour, so maybe not.
Yeah,
so
but
much.
I mean, also like the dialogue. I don't believe the dialogue held like any keys for you in the future. It just felt like I reckon they writ something, but they said just sort of go along with it. It just feels quite organic, as you say.
It does. It does feel organic. Maybe I have to ask him. I haven't really seen a Safdie brother interview.
Oh yeah, they're pretty interesting. They like a lot of like old Scorsese. They like a lot of like 70s movies. And you can kind of tell that kind of they have got that sort of 70s vibe about them.
Yeah, they do. Well, they were born in the late 80s. So maybe they grew up and maybe they watched a lot of 70s stuff, to be fair. Like we grew up. My example was not gonna hold any weight at all there, because I was gonna say we grew up in we were born in the 90s, but we grew up in the 2000s. Really, yeah. If you think about it, you don't remember much of the 90s when you were born, but we have such a strong connection with the 90s. Maybe it's similar vibes. Same with the 80s; they have that 80s feel. They really do have that 80s feel,
yeah,
as well. Probably more 80s and 70s actually.
Yeah, but they like a lot of 70s movies. You know, they're very inspired by the 70s.
You like a lot of 80s. I like a lot of 80s.
I like
music.
A lot of 70s as well. I had 60s as well.
Yeah. The swinging 60s.
The 60s is pretty good, man. It's got a lot of good stuff.
Not everything. Entertainment wise, we'll say that. Maybe everyday life was.
I don't know.
It's not
good,
great.
Good
but
movies,
it isn't great now.
Good
It isn't great now. So they're linking up. So that'd be a good one. I mean, one day we will do a Safdie Brothers ranked. It just feels too soon right now. Let them pile them up a little bit. But that would be an interesting one in the future.
Where do you stand on them? How many Safdie movies have you seen?
I have seen Good Time. I have seen Uncut Gems. And I have seen... Heaven knows what.
Oh, you did see it in the end, because I know we. You said you were going to watch it, so you did watch it in the end.
Yeah, so they're the only three I've seen. So I've not gone. I loved it. It was kind of a typical. It did feel like a Safdie brother. I think what they're very good at is they do have that style. I'm not gonna talk too much about this movie because we're not. I don't want to give spoilers away to a movie that. We're not reviewing today, just in case people are like, for fuck's sake, can we not watch anything? But this, it has that sense of a Safdie Brothers movie. They've got their style nailed down, I think. So I think they've...
It's got your boy it. Caleb in it as well.
Yeah, I said I liked him once and you haven't let that go.
Well, he's a good actor. A Caleb Landry Jones ranking list just for you.
To be fair, I don't know what it is, but there's just whenever I see him in a movie, there is something about his character acting that really draws me to his performance. I just think he's a great actor. Somewhat underrated, maybe. I think in Three Billboards he was brilliant.
Yeah, he hasn't
Get Out. He was.
He
brilliant.
Hasn't been given like a big push, has he? But in the indies, he's doing fine. But like, he's not got that big like mainstream push like.
No, but he is still young in the acting world. He's 32, so he's very, very young. So maybe that'll come. But yeah, he's definitely one
to watch. I could see him being like a Seymour Hoffman, you know, one of them kind of like you see him around and then suddenly they keep pushing and pushing just because you're so used to seeing him in movies.
Do you know what? If they ever did a remake of Edward Scissorhands.
No, he's too old for that role now, I think.
That what? Really? Yeah. There's something Edward Scissorhands about him. Like when he has long hair as well, he has that kind of like gaunt kind of look about him. He could be in a horror movie.
He's been in loads.
I know he's in Get Out, but I wouldn't consider that a horror movie. But like a proper villain in a horror movie. Has he been a proper villain in a horror movie? He could be the Joker.
Yeah.
A future Joker.
Yeah, future Joker.
I could see it. I think a future Joker. That's, you know what? People are giving too many good roles to Harry Styles now. He's going to come in the fold and they're going to give them all to him. People like Caleb are there, in my opinion.
That was left field. Why have you suddenly brought Harry Styles in this? It feels like that's been sitting on your chest for a while, that one.
I feel like the trajectory of the actors is kind of could be similar. They could be comparable.
Yeah, but I mean, Harry Styles. I mean, I've not seen his latest work. I thought he was all right in Dunkirk when I watched that movie. He's a name, isn't he? So he's a draw. So you have to kind of understand it. And he might be all right. I mean, you know, Cher, Bowie, they were decent enough actors. I wouldn't say they're great. A lot of sometimes Bowie's work was a bit and same with Cher's, but I mean, they were still entertaining enough.
You just compared him to Bowie.
In acting, not in music. But I mean, come on, he compares himself to Bowie. I mean, look at his music, look at the way he's dressed, and he's totally going for the Bowie style, isn't he?
He is trying to be the new Bowie, isn't he? But there will never be a new Bowie, unfortunately.
Yeah. Apart from Zoe Bowie.
Well, yeah, that is technically a Bowie, but not Bowie, you know? Just blood-related Bowie. You know, if you died and people were like, hey, it's the new Templeman.
I'd be dead.
Looking up at me.
I'd be dead.
You'd be looking up at me.
I wouldn't be doing anything.
And said, fuck that, no way, he's never going to be me.
Why would I be looking up at you? Why am I dead and you're the only person I talk to? That just seems like a bad trade. I don't like this.
You didn't pick up on the look up bit either, so.
Because I'm in the ground. I'm in the ground.
You're in hell. You're in hell.
I'm in the ground.
I was going to talk about Pinocchio, but I feel like we've wasted too much time.
Just talk about Pinocchio. Just say something. All right, quick.
Well, Pinocchio came out recently, and it has debuted well critically. And on Rotten Tomatoes. First 8 reviews, it was 100%. I don't know what it's sitting on now, whether that's changed, but I'm just basing this off of the Twitter account Culture Crave, which is a very good Twitter account if you want to follow anything to do with movies and Netflix and all that shit.
Isn't it funny that they brought out 2 Pinocchio movies this year?
Yeah, 2 very different Pinocchio movies.
Well, I mean, yeah.
2 very different Pinocchio
movies. Del Toro's is like about like 1940s neo-Italia, isn't it? It's very... he always likes to set he's in the backdrop of a war, his movies. He does like to have that there. He likes to have that little conversation going. Whereas the new Pinocchio took away stuff more. I mean, apparently there's not even the scene where he gets drunk and smokes cigars. That's my favourite scene in Pinocchio.
Really?
Yeah, it's root beer.
They took
it's
that
root
out.
Beer. It's root beer now. I've not watched the movie. I've just heard that it's root beer.
I'm fuming.
I know. Let kids grow up thinking that they can drink and smoke cigars. Don't ruin their dreams. Stop ruining people's dreams.
Definitely don't ruin their nothing fucking
wrong.
Dreams.
Nothing wrong with... I looked at them cigars and I've not wanted to smoke cigars, even though I do have cigars. I have not smoked them yet.
I have. But that's besides the point.
Yeah. Kids going to do kid things.
There was actually one more thing.
All right.
No, we did. I don't know if we mentioned this last week. Did we talk about Robbie Coltrane?
No, we didn't. We didn't
talk about Robbie Coltrane. And we filmed it and we recorded it after it happened. That's bad from us. Anyway, we'll briefly touch on it before we move into our main event. But yeah, Robbie Coltrane passed away last Friday. Best known for playing Hagrid.
And Cracker as well, I'd say, on TV.
You have to say. And Cracker for TV, maybe for an older audience, Cracker. But it's always one of those sad things when an actor passes away, especially someone so culturally impactful, and then you get all the stories about how much of a nice person they were as well. Yeah, I think that really is telling. You know, I mean, I know when people die, everyone comes out and they're like, hey, he's a great guy. But there were some really personal stories coming out about Robbie Coltrane, which really did paint a picture of a very lovely man. So,
what was your favourite work from him? Like, if you could hand pick some that you really liked.
You go first. You've put me on the spot there.
Okay, I'm just quickly suffering. One of them I really liked, which was the last thing I saw him in. I don't know if you watched it. It was on. It was a mini series on Channel 4 called National Treasure, where he played a disgraced celebrity who'd been he was a disgraced comedian who had been accused of sexual abuse. And that was really great. That I really liked that movie. I thought it was great. Obviously the Harry Potter, that's fantastic.
Of course, yeah.
James Bond. I loved the stuff he did in Blackadder as well. Yeah, I thought he was really good in Blackadder. In his little bits on that. Mona Lisa, really like Mona Lisa. And of course, did I say Harry Potter? I think I did say. Yeah, I did say Harry Potter. Well, there was a lot of them, so I'll say it again.
James Bond?
Yeah, he was good as. It was like a really little cameo performance, but he was one of them actors that.
He was in two movies, so.
One of them actors that when you saw him in a movie, it put a smile on your face. It's nice to always see him, or even on TV. He was one of them actors that he added something. When you saw him, even if it wasn't a big role, you're like, hey, it's Robbie Coltrane. You felt like you're in a safe place. You felt like you saw. It's like when you go into like a room, like a party or something, you don't know anyone, you see someone in the corner that you do know. That's Robbie Coltrane for me. And you smile, you're like, oh, I know that guy. That's how I think
there
of
is
him.
A sense of
familiarity
about him. Yeah, like you walk into, like, I don't know, a local pub, and you see the bartender behind the pub who you always see, and you always have a nice chat with, and you go, ah, oh, I feel relaxed now. I mean, it's like Cheers, you know. I know what you mean.
Yeah,
sense of comfort.
Yeah, he's a sense of comfort.
He's definitely a comfort. Yeah, a national treasure who has passed away. So we'll move on from that and we'll go straight to another national treasure for Salem, anyway. Our review. Yes. 30 years since the original?
30 years. That was 1993, wasn't it? 29 years. There you go. 1993, 2002, 29 years.
There you go. 29, nearly 30 years since the original. Hocus Pocus 2 came out to Disney Plus exclusively with the original cast. And I fucking hated it.
Hocus Pocus 2, yes.
That's what I said to you. He stole my line. I can't believe it.
Hey, you had to. I got yours now.
He's getting there first. Yeah, Hocus Bogus. I have some things about this movie that I just didn't understand. I feel like if you bring back something that came out in the early 90s, right, the audience to which loved that movie. Now, let's get this straight. I don't think this movie held much weight after the 90s. I don't think this was a movie that people...
It had nostalgia. You know, I think people who grew up...
It had nostalgia, but it was like almost like a bit of forgotten nostalgia in the sense that people weren't holding on to this movie for all them years demanding a second one. I think if people are like, oh, there is going to be a second one. Oh, yeah, that's actually really... I'd love that idea. Bring that with the original cast. You'd only get people watching it with the original cast. You wouldn't be able to throw together three new witches and call it Hocus Pocus 2. So they had that. But then I felt like it was like a weird mix of the old cast, but then like a really kiddie story for like a new audience.
Yeah, I didn't really
And they kind of merged them together, and I was like, who is this movie for? I just didn't understand.
I felt, and I don't know if you felt this way, but I felt like Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Kathy Najimy, they felt like they were phoning it a little bit. It just felt a little bit...
picking up a paycheck, big time.
I mean, I don't even remember a lot of words that Sarah Jessica Parker said in this movie. In fact, I don't think she said much. Sometimes I reckon if she was just like a cardboard cutout of Sarah Jessica Parker.
I think you're right. I don't think she said
but
anything.
But this is a callback to... The only thing I'd say about this is a callback to the old direct-to-video Disney sequels, like The Lion King 2, Aladdin 2, what have you. This feels like... Yeah, this is like... I'll just take it out and just release it. This feels like a TV movie.
It really does, like sell VHS tapes. Yeah, it doesn't do anything, no. Does it? And I understand now why when this came out, I heard nothing about it. I fully understand.
It's not that it's bad, but it's not good. It's just kind of like, it is really average.
And that's the worst thing you can be as a movie.
It's just like, average. There's nothing... I can't really remember anything that I hated about it, but I can't really remember anything I liked about it. I just kind of sat there and I started to space out. It just didn't grab me.
It didn't grab me in the slightest. No, it really didn't grab me in the slightest. But saying that, it was Disney Plus reported this movie as the most viewed film premiere in the United States based on hours streamed in the first 3 days of its release. So this was actually a big success for Disney Plus in the US.
Yeah, I mean...
Those poor people.
This is why streaming is doing quite well at the moment, because it doesn't really matter how good or bad the movie is, because on Netflix or on Disney... there's no rating system. You can't tell how good or bad something is. You can only go by word of mouth. And normally what you go by is pretty pictures and what's new. And so new to Disney, and it shows that at the top. Of course you're going to watch it. If you're a kid, you're going to watch that. Especially if you've seen Hocus Pocus, you're going to say, oh, Hocus Pocus 2. I have, for me, to be the most streamed thing, I don't know if that's like, I mean, it's patting yourself on the back for something which I don't think really takes much effort. If you promote it right, it's going to be seen, and because you're in the comfort of your house, you're going to watch it. If you're in the cinema, there's a little bit more of a task to go out and actually purchase it and view it when, you know, you're sitting on your butt. When you sit on your butt, right, and you channel surf, you'll watch any shit. Sometimes you'll just pick it up for 20 minutes. So, you know, I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed, Disney. You don't impress me.
There you go, Disney.
I think they dropped the ball early on in this movie. I was thinking about it. And when they had the origin story with the kids were really good. The kids did a good impression, and they had Hannah Waddington, who played like the witch's mother. And as soon as that ended, I thought, do you know, I can't really remember enjoying any of it apart from that bit. And part of me wonders whether they should have just stayed with them as kids and with some sort of rivalry, like motherly rivalry with Hannah Waddington. I kind of wish Hannah Waddington was in this movie as the villain. She intrigued me. When she came out, the look of her and everything, she was the most interesting character, and she was in the movie for like a minute.
Yeah, and she's coined as a big star of the movie.
Yeah.
So I was surprised that was it, really. I was very surprised. And the movie just kind of based around the two kids more than anything, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. And they were just generic and boring.
Vanilla.
Very vanilla. Very safe. I felt they were very safe.
Like a Hallmark movie. Felt like they were like Hallmark actors. I don't want to shit on the kid kids acting. I don't think it's their fault. You have to blame the direction.
That and the script. I mean, if you're not given a lot to do with
the script. Yeah.
Because then.
So I'm not going to shit on you. I'm not going to shit on the kid.
You've got the second bit, haven't you, where you've got Gilbert, who's like this witch guy, with Billy Butcherson, Doug Jones reprising his role in a lot bigger role. Obviously, he's a bigger actor now. And they're doing their own little thing. And even that didn't grab me. Even this little side story didn't grab me. It's just everything was, I wouldn't even say paint by numbers, because I just think it was even drier than paint. You know, they've achieved something drier than paint. It was
great. they have. The paint is already dried and it's kind of peeling off the wall a little bit. And that's what you're watching. You're watching the bubbles form behind the paint. Do you know what I mean?
I'm watching someone do an overcoat. That's what I'm watching. The painting has been done. They're just overcoating.
Yeah. They're overcoating the same colour. Yeah, it's dull as fuck, isn't it? It really is dull. It's a shame, because I think on paper they did 50% of it right. They got the original cast back together. That was it. That was kind of it. But I feel like that's probably the hardest job of making the movie, is getting that cast back together. From there, you've got to be like, look, we have to deliver now. I've got all the originals back in.
It has to be like the script. There
are no excuses. Yeah, there are no excuses. You've just made a bad movie.
Because we reviewed this movie last year, right? And Midler, Parker, and Najimy, I thought they had great chemistry 29 years ago. And it just feels stale. It just feels it just feels underwritten. And also, I don't understand that when they first come, there's a musical scene. I didn't understand that. At the end, I'm fine with it. But I would if I enjoyed it. But when they had it at the end as well, I didn't, because I thought, like, you didn't deserve your musical number. Like, you have to earn music in a movie, I think, sometimes. And I don't think this movie did. I think the sets felt very stagey. It felt like it was all on a production stage. It just felt bland and unoriginal.
It was like a movie. It was like a movie for the sake of making the movie. Because I read a bit of the behind the scenes sort of nature, and the producers tried to like rehire a lot of members of the production team. They were on the original ones, obviously the ones that were alive and the ones that hadn't retired. They got a lot of those back into the production team. So they tried to get the original people together as much as they possibly could, because they felt that's where the success came from. But I feel like maybe it just turned into a big reunion, and maybe that it was probably great to make. Everyone probably had a great time. Maybe the film was secondary to the nostalgia of the whole thing. I mean, that's where it's kind of lost its way.
I
don't know.
I
that could
think,
be part of it.
It's very, very rare, I think, that long-awaited sequels mainly fail. Apart from Top Gun Maverick, which I was surprised it was a success and I really liked it. But when you think of, like, and it's normally cult movies as well. Cult sequels fail. When you think of Zoolander 2, terrible. Like, it tried to recapture what Zoolander was without understanding what Zoolander was. It tried to say, oh, you like that? Well, we'll just rehash that. Same with Anchorman 2. A lot of the comedies, Hocus Pocus. I worry about Beetlejuice 2, by the way. I mean, I love the original Beetlejuice, and the idea of Beetlejuice 2 worries me a little bit. And I just feel like, the people that are making these movies have no concept about why people like these movies. I think they completely drop the ball on why people like them. And I think the reason this was made is because people said, oh, this movie's really popular. We could make some money from it. And I think that is where the idea stopped. And it didn't grow and grow. And sometimes I think you need... Most films are like that. You know, that's how films are made. That's popular. Let's make more of that. But you need to get the right people in who will, you need to get the right creators in who will basically grow that tree and nurture that tree and make it become something instead of just a seed. And this is Hocus Pocus, if I could say it, it's anything, it's a seed. It hasn't been given any water to grow yet.
No, it hasn't. It's just been they've got the seeds and they're like, oh, this is cool. We could make this if we really wanted to. But then they just didn't water it. They let it kind of just sit there. Yeah, they just let it sit there in the soil, and that was it. It was just slowly sinking to the bottom of the soil. It's a shame because we came into this movie and it wasn't like I was excited, but it was one of those ones that we had mentioned last year, so it had an air of like, oh, we're going to review it this year. You know?
I thought there'd be some charm to it.
And you know, like with Anchorman 2 and Zoolander 2, although I didn't enjoy those movies as much as the original, there was some watchability and likability about the movie, and kind of like there was also, like, especially with Zoolander, there was a lot more to it in terms of, like, it was okay. You know, it wasn't a bad movie. It was okay.
Something to grab.
It didn't really add anything to the original. And I feel like it would be forgettable, held up to the original. But with this one, it was kind of like, you didn't try. You really didn't try with this movie. It kind of just, it has the title, it has the actors, the production, and then they just had a generic storyline that could have been any bad TV movie on Hallmark. It's a shame. It was a struggle as well.
It was a slog. I did struggle with it.
It was quite a long movie, as I was like nearly 2 hours. Six or so. Yeah, that's long for a bad movie. If you're gonna be a bad movie, stick to 80 minutes. Cut that shit down. If you're watching that shit in the edit suite and you're going, "Oh, we've made a bad movie," cut out as much as you can.
Well, that's the beauty of the director video ones, was they were normally about 70 minutes. If this was 70 minutes,
yeah,
that's fine. But you're too long. Cut it out.
Too fucking long. But yeah, we discussed this before. We don't have much to say.
Well, we struggle with it, to be fair. So yeah, we kind of like, we're scratching around thinking, shit, what do we say?
We don't know what to say, but we'll move on. Do we move on to a top five early?
Should we
rate this movie? Hey, I think we pretty much just, everyone could assume that we're putting it in bad.
That's good.
actually, I enjoyed this movie. No, yeah, this wasn't good. Hocus Bogus 2. I'm sorry it's bad, but it is bad.
Just don't make a third one. Or at least if you make a third one, make a better third one.
If they get the original cast to do it again, I'd be shocked. I'd be very, very shocked. But we'll fucking see, I guess. We'll bloody see. Yeah, let's move on to the next part.
Okay.
Right, I didn't want to do like anything too related to Hocus Pocus because I wanted to move on as quickly as possible. So this isn't top five witch movies or anything like that. We're going to talk about things we love.
Yes.
And things we love, especially growing up, were TV specials. And it's very American of us, but Halloween TV specials.
Yes.
This isn't the top five. We're just going to throw out ones that we love and talk about them. Do you want to go first? You can go first.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, it's hard to always do a top five because it's hard to remember everything that you've ever seen. And I always remember, I think the TV, for me, the Halloween specials, I think of when I was a kid. So I think of what did I really like. And I used to love the Disney ones. Do you remember Recess and Lloyd in Space and like Kenan and Cal and stuff
Recess
like that?
Yeah, Recess was always good. Lloyd in Space was good. Lloyd in Space, I jotted down.
Yeah.
It's always one that sits with me because I really loved the episode. It was a great episode.
It was a great episode.
Everyone just disappears.
And it really sucks that it's not on Disney Plus. Disney, sort that out. Lloyd in Space needs to be on Disney Plus. What's going on?
Severely underrated, Lloyd in Space.
100%. Severely 100%. Underrated. And obviously, like sitcoms, I mean, I was thinking about some of them. I mean, Frasier. I really liked the Halloween episode of Frasier when they went to the fancy dress. King of Queens, Everyone Loves Raymond. Hey, did you get candy from Frankenstein? You remember that? The candy was condoms.
I don't think I remember seeing
Everyone Loves Raymond.
That one at all.
The one where they give up the candy, but it's actually condoms. It's been
given
the condoms
out
to the kids.
No, I do. Sorry, I do remember that. Yes. Yes. Well, this is a great thing. Like, obviously, we grew up on a lot of American sitcoms. Yeah.
I can't really think of many Halloween episodes of British sitcoms. It's always been that thing that it's never really been a thing here. It's more of an American thing, which is why we've always had to gravitas towards American TV to find it.
Well, I think they've done it. They do it best. They do. They give you that feeling. Do you know which another one which I jotted down here? It obviously it's not my favorite, but it's one I always remember being on. Eight Simple Rules, Trick or Treehouse. Mm-hmm. Eight Simple Rules is a TV show which weirdly someone mentioned to me the other day, and it stuck with me because I was thinking, oh, that was such a show that was just always on in our house. And
ABC.
Well, we had Halloween ones. We had it on ABC. ABC was a great show.
They had three shows on ABC.
We had three shows. Back to back. Eight Simple Rules was back to back. And yeah, just that feeling of like the Halloween decorations are up. There's candy on the side. People are always knocking on the door. There's always shit going on. People are going out to park. Do you know what I mean? That kind of had that real Halloween natural feel. Not trying to be too scary. Just like... just about Halloween. Do you know what I mean? Just an episode about Halloween. Not like we're going to kill all the characters in this episode, but it's not a real episode. Just about Halloween, which I liked. It had that real, real good feel to it. Kind of like similar to like Home Improvement, something like that. They always good TV specials whenever they did one.
I always thought they made Halloween for me. It wasn't always the movies, but it was more the TV, actually, like the sitcoms. Mm. When they'd have like a little bit more of a sinister like approach to it, and I can think of a couple that really worked, and we know the one that we always go to, and we'll no doubt be watching some of them during the Halloween is The Simpsons Treehouse of Horrors, and I think out of any of the TV shows, Simpsons did it best. Treehouse of Horror was brilliant. It was such a brilliant idea. To have this like serialized three stories in an episode. They did fuck it up later in the seasons where it got a bit too silly and not as scary, but like when you watch the original ones, they were scary and daring. And then they got diluted as the years went on.
They did get diluted, but yeah, they had some brilliant episodes, didn't they? Like the Monkey's Paw, Time Machine, when Groundskeeper Willie became Freddy Krueger. There was loads. There was loads. The early episodes were the best. They are obviously iconic. Kang and Kodos. I like the fact that they appeared in every single one at least once. Always loved that. The Simpsons Halloween music as well. The music changes. The Simpsons did it best.
Even like
they really did.
Green,
they fucking
slimy
captured that
font
shit
as well. They had, didn't they?
Yeah. They captured it best. And it was like, well, that's what they were so good at. They made the most of specials. Mm. They had Christmas specials, Halloween specials.
They didn't do Christmas.
Time of the year.
I don't think they did Christmas as well as Halloween. Like, Christmas was sort of...
No, they didn't.
It was like, some of them were right, but I mean, the Treehouse of Horrors, they were brilliant. They did something unique there.
I think maybe the difference with Christmas episodes is They did like a bit of Christmas and then they tailed off on onto different subjects, you know, or like the episode wasn't really about Christmas, but it had Christmas themes. Well, Halloween was like fully Halloween, but you could watch it any time of the year. Halloween's a weird thing. You can kind of do Halloween stuff all year round, can't you? Without it feeling too uncomfortable. Do you know what I mean? You can, like a horror movie, you can watch any. You can watch Halloween at any point during the year. It doesn't have to be Halloween.
That's why I like it when it's like really atmospheric. Like when like Trick or Treat, which is basically was a TV movie, but that is a brilliant Halloween movie. I used to another one that I put down here. I don't know if you remember, it was the South Park episode Pink Eye when they're all zombies.
South Park
did some brilliant stuff with the pink eye with the Worcestershire sauce. They said, "Why do you keep eating that stuff?" Oh, I don't know. It just makes everything taste British. Instead, and they say, "Actually, Kenny's turned into a zombie. He's eating people." And they go to the doctor, and he says, "What's wrong?" He's got a case of pink eye. And so he keeps eating people. Well, for God's sake, don't touch your eyes. Stuff like that. But I love that episode, Pink Eye, with the killer fish. You know, it's this fish that comes out and keeps eating people. It's such a great... And South Park was another one that really were good at the Halloween specials as well.
Yeah, South Park were brilliant at it as well. I think a lot of the cartoons were. I think Family Guy had a few. I think American Dad had a few that were good.
I know there's a load Disney Plus as well. Like you can through them. They've got a whole thing at the moment.
They're good at that. One thing Disney Plus is quite good at, I'd say, is playlists.
Yep.
With their streaming service, they'll do like a Halloween playlist. Whereas like Netflix are like, you're on your fucking own, buddy. Unless you want to find something that we made, good luck. Whereas Disney's like, we made everything, so we're gonna fairly share all of the content to you. So it's a little bit
different. I do like when they post the because they posted a few of the old like Mickey Mouse. Halloween stuff, like they've got a Lonesome Ghost where Mickey Mouse goes into like a haunted house and there's ghosts like scaring them. I really like that stuff, the old 40s, 50s, 60s little shorts they did like before movies. They've got all of them on. They are very atmospheric. Same with the Christmas ones they do. I always think when I see them and like and it, there's like a jack-o'-lantern alight and like you see August leaves and all of that, that makes me think of Halloween. So those are definitely the old ones or Huey, Dewey and Louie when they went out trick or treat and stuff like that. I like that. I like the kind of, it's like the playfully wonder of Halloween, like from a kid's eye instead of like the sadistic perversion of like a horror movie where it's way too gory. I like the campy fun of it as well. Probably more so actually, I'd say.
The campy fun.
But it feels like...
I'm enjoying like the... watching a few of the Halloween movies. Because they are proper Halloween movies. And they really feel like Halloween.
Yeah. I like seeing the decorations, the pumpkins and all of that. And just... I mean, I'd like to do a pumpkin, but I remember doing one when I was a kid and it was absolutely terrible. It was the worst pumpkin ever.
Yeah, we're not very artistic, are we?
No.
In this family. Oh, we're not very good at that sort of stuff. We do the generic triangle eyes and spiky teeth.
Yeah, it didn't work, though.
And even those would be a bit lopsided. Yeah. Even those would be a little bit lopsided. I always remember with like kids coming like to the door and trick or treating. I always remember we'd have like a bowl of sweets and I'd be like, "Please, please, no one knock on the door. I want these sweets." And I'd be fuming every time there'd be a knock. I'd be like, "Fuck's sake!" A big handful would be gone. I'd be like, "Oh, no."
It's weird these days because like I go into Tesco's and they've got like a little like bridge they made that says Halloween treats, and I look past it and. These days, I look at them and go, "That's too much sugar." And you know, it's weird how your mind goes different. It's like, "Hey, that's way too much sugar."
So that's going to make me sick.
I can't eat that much.
That's going to make me feel sick. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it completely changes. Yeah, I used to be able to devour sweets when I was younger. Oh, now I eat a bag of sweets and I get a headache.
Yeah, you get that, and you get diarrhea, and you're like, "Oh, why did I eat all that chocolate for?"
It's true, man. It's weird. The older you get, the less your body fucking accepts the shit you put in.
Your body just
when you're younger, like, you know what?
Out.
Yeah, the body's like, I'm done with your shit now. You need to grow up. Yeah, when you're young, you just do whatever. They'll be like, hey, fuck it. Yeah, shove it in. Who cares? Yeah, you want another sweet? Put it in. No donut? Go for it. More Coke? We're not going to have any water for the next 5 years? Fine.
I can't even imagine drinking
Full Fat Coke. Now it's like, you don't have water and you feel... Oh, no, I haven't touched Full Fat. Full Fat Coke just makes me burp. I just feel gassy. I'm just like, the whole time. You know, I just can't handle it. It has to be Pepsi Max or diet.
It's just about drinking. I just got there's too much sugar in my drink.
It also just doesn't taste nice either.
No, it's weird. You're just drinking sugared water. That's the stupid thing about it. Sugar coloured water.
Did I remember? I remember once. I don't know if you were involved. I remember once, 1 year when we were like, God, I couldn't even tell you the age to be honest with you. But we were at trick or treating age. Let's say that. But I think we were near towards the end of the trick or treating age. Mm. You know, we had like 2 or 3 years left, and I don't know if you were involved. It was me, you, and one of our neighbours who used to live by. And we decided to go trick-or-treating like a couple of days early.
Yes, I remember this.
We went early. We were like, this is like revolutionary entrepreneurial shit. We were like, right, everyone's going to have brought their candy by now. I say candy, sweets. That's going.
We probably call it candy then.
Fucking candy. I'm gonna stick with candy.
Give us your candy, old man. We know you're in there, you asshole.
We thought that they would have brought their sweets by now. They would be ready for trick-or-treaters in a few days' time. We thought, you know what, let's beat the rush. And we went trick-or-treating on like the 28th, 27th of October. And we were knocking on houses, weren't we? In our get up, trick-or-treating, and it was working. It was working. We were getting sweets, and we were like, "What is going on?" We were gonna do it again on the 31st. We were getting ahead. We're gonna do this twice. Have a different mask for the next one. This one's the basic mask. If we get the sweets, they may be like, "Hey, you know what? I respect the kids' hustle. Here's some sweets."
Didn't always work that way though. Did it? I remember opening one of the people opened the door. This woman, and she looked at us, and she went, "Oh no!" And she slammed the door, and I remember that.
Yeah, she proper like I don't know whether she was taking the piss.
It
or
was
she
like
was
frightened.
Terrified.
It was like, a bit frightened, like oh no.
She was proper frightened, yeah.
Or annoyed. It was frightened or annoyed. It's hard to tell. And the other thing I hate is when you go trick or treat.
Suppose it wasn't Halloween.
Yeah, it wasn't Halloween as well.
It
wasn't,
and we turned up in masks at someone's front
door. It was March. Maybe she wasn't. So yeah, I could understand a problem. well, it was back in the days where we thought like. We didn't think like people went out and got candy. We thought, no, we're in Halloween costumes. That means people have candy. That's how this works. But I always hate it when they went trick. When they went trick or treat and trick. Because what is trick? What do you have to do with trick? No one's ever explained it. You just get candy, but no one ever explains what trick is. What do you have to do with trick?
Trick is getting your fucking house egged. That's what trick is. All right. If you don't give kids sweets, I think they reserved the right to egg your house. I actually don't feel sorry for anyone that gets their house egged on Halloween if they didn't give the kids sweets.
I thought it was TP.
Fuck you. Or TP. Well, that's an American thing. Egged is more this, isn't it? In fact, I remember like near Halloween, they would stop selling eggs. Or you would have to have an adult with you if you were buying eggs. You couldn't buy eggs like 2 weeks before Halloween.
But why wouldn't you just nick the
rest
eggs
of the year,
in your
fine.
Fridge?
Well, you could do that, but they also are your house eggs, so you're in trouble with the family for doing that. So the kids would buy the eggs.
Yeah, but you
so
buy off
there
the
was
family
no trace.
With the treats. It's like, all right,
I will say
these
this,
12
say
eggs
like,
are going to go, but you're going to get some candy, so don't worry, Mum, Dad.
They say number 25 gets egged, and then Mum looks in the fridge, and obviously things happen, right? You know, if a house gets egged down the road, everyone fucking knows about it. Mum looks in the fridge and sees the 12-pack.
Is that completely gone? A house has been egged. Quick, everyone go in and check whose eggs have been used, and then we'll find the culprit.
Yeah, but No, you wouldn't even have to check. The mum would open the 12-pack and be like, all the eggs are fucking gone. Well, Billy hasn't made a big omelette this week, so he clearly egged number 25, and then he's grounded.
It's you now.
There's a trace. Kids are smarter than this. They don't just steal eggs from the fridge. They buy the eggs. The eggs were like drugs 2 weeks before Halloween. You had to get them down a dark alley off a fucking adult.
It's like I said, it's you, number 40. We checked, you've got no eggs in your fridge. But I'm lactose intolerant. Shut up. I hate people who are intolerant.
Excuses. I'm intolerant of your bullshit.
I'm intolerant of you throwing eggs at my house.
But that was a thing. You couldn't buy eggs. But yeah, we went trick-or-treating a few days early, and we got sweets. How cool.
And now we don't want sweets at all. It feels like
I actually don't know what the age of stop trick-or-treating is. What is the age? The acceptable age? To end trick-or-treating? 14?
I would say...
I feel like you outgrow it.
I would say 12. I would say 12, 11 or 12.
Yeah, you got to be young, innit?
Yeah, because
I always hated it when I was older and kids would come knocking and then there'd be one kid there who was clearly like fucking taller than the rest. Fuck you. You're not getting any sweets. You can buy your own sweets, right? You got a paper round this fucking area. I know you can buy your own sweets, so you ain't getting shit.
If he's got a paper round, he probably is young enough to still get treats.
Yeah, but he's getting income. But a paper round was like, that's the only job you could get. As a kid, really. You couldn't get any other job.
Fuck that.
Paper round. That's where it all begins. I wanted the paper round just for the money. But it was like £10 a week or something stupid like that. You get fucked.
It was less than that, I think. I think it was like a fiver.
It probably was. Well, with the cost of living now, it's probably 20 quid, 30 quid. But it doesn't get you as far anyway. Yeah, so.
High rise and how much it was. I think it was a fiver.
Do you think so? For a week?
Yeah, it wasn't.
Or maybe a day.
It was only the weekend. It was like a Sunday. I don't think people did it all week. I don't know. Let us know. Let us know if you had an all-week paper route. And then we want proof just to make sure you're not a liar. Because we're all about facts.
Yeah, I don't know if that... I don't know if that's even a thing anymore, paper rounds. But that was big when we were growing
people
up.
Don't have
that was
papers
like the
anymore,
job. You're like, oh, yeah. Not really, no. No. But people still get milk delivered. And I want to, when I'm older, I want to live somewhere where you can get milk delivered. Can't get milk delivered in London. Why not? Don't work.
Yeah, but you don't drink milk. You have almond milk.
Yeah, but you can probably get other milk delivered.
I don't know. I think.
But in the glass bowl, isn't that always like nice?
Do you remember we had that? Do you remember the glass bottles at our house? We used to.
We did, yeah. We did have a milk delivery for a bit.
Wasn't there
a good time?
Wasn't there a milk dispute or something? I don't know, they spin the bottle with the
probably
little foil.
A strike.
Something like that.
Yeah, with the little foil. They probably went on strike or something.
You can get your eggs from the milkman as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, you could.
You could blame the milkman for the egg in the house. So that
is that a job that's kind of gone?
The milkman?
Milkman. UK. Is that kind of just a job that's kind of just disappeared?
I don't see milk floats anymore, so I don't think they do exist.
Look at the little. Google the picture of a milk van, and you see how nostalgic is that, and how old school that looks.
I remember
that was that
used to pull up. Yeah,
that vehicle was designed specifically for that job. You couldn't do any other job with that. It had to be milk.
You couldn't like work at a bank and like be transferring money to another bank for one of them, and then like going out and going there. Where's that bag of money? And why is there empty milk cartons in it? What's going on here? Oh, crap.
It's perfect because you hop out, you reach in, you grab it. You don't have to open doors. It's quick. It's good. It's efficient.
The milkman was a lazy man. He said when they gave him that, said if you put doors on it, no one's getting milk. I am lazy and I want to open no doors ever again.
I need to see if there's still milkman in 2022. Is there milk? That could have been. I mean, that could have been a job that definitely died off because of COVID.
You can't blame everything on COVID. I think that Milkman probably died off way before COVID. I blame superstores for the Milkman's demise.
Do you?
Yeah, of course. How much milk? I mean, I went to Tesco's today. I don't want to keep bringing up Tesco's. It's just twice now that Tesco's been bought up. I feel that's too many times. But, I mean, you go down the milk aisle and there is just so much milk, isn't there? And then there's another aisle, which is long life milk, which is milk that doesn't need a fridge. And, like, there's way too much milk these days and way too less milkmen.
This is the point of the podcast where people are like, these guys are talking about milk.
This is the Hocus Pocus podcast, isn't it? They're talking about milk.
I'm just skipping ahead and be hearing you say, there's too much milk these days.
I keep skipping and skipping. So, my God, I've been talking about milk for half an hour.
It's probably old man yells at cloud. Yeah. There's too much milk these days. What a sentence. There's too much milk these days.
Skip to 20 minutes. Don't get me started on almond milk. Almond can't have milk.
Do you know what? I don't know. I just feel like there's something called. I can't find any details of a milkman in the modern day.
Apart from modern milkman.
There's a company called Modern Milkman, and I feel like they exist because there are no milkmen. When did they get rid of milkmen?
If there are any milkmen listening here, send us a message about the state of milkmen. I want to hear from a milkman.
Hey, I have to know. I have to know.
Put it out there. Ask milkman.
Return of the milkman.
Milkman, where are you?
I'm still trying to find details here. We're now turned into a milkman podcast. Until the 1990s, having milk dropped off your doorstep by your local milkman was the norm. Today, it's less common. But one milk company said it's a huge spike in customers since the pandemic. I need stats, man. I need to know how many milkmen are working and whether they are working. I need to know. I have to know. Oh, are these stats? The numbers have grown. The modern milkman. This is all Welsh. It's not giving me anything other than Welsh stats about the modern milkman.
It's thriving in Wales. That's what we know.
Apparently so, yeah. Apparently milkmen are thriving in Wales. Maybe more rural places in Wales. There's quite a few rural places here, to be fair. Anyway, milkmen. They have their own day in America. Did you know that?
No.
Milkman Day. Celebrated on August the 12th.
They got a holiday for everything.
I didn't know they had milkmen. It commemorates the work of milkmen who deliver fresh milk to homes throughout the day. They have their own day. That's pretty cool. What do? Do they get a day off?
If you went to America and stood up for a year, they'd give you a day. Like, they'd just give anyone a day. It's not impressive anymore. Everyone has a day.
This started in Britain, by the way. It's originated in Britain.
A milkman day.
This is funny. I'm just gonna read you what milkman day is. Ready?
What do you do
during milkman day? I'm going to tell you. During Milkman Day, Americans celebrate the history and tradition of the milkman.
They can
enjoy a delicious breakfast of pancakes or waffles.
That's pancakes, though.
Or even try some traditional milkman recipes. What are they? What is a milkman recipe?
You have milk with pancakes. All of those recipes have milk in them.
Where to celebrate Milkman? One place to celebrate Milkman Day is at a local milk stand. You can also celebrate Milkman Day at a local park. There you can have a picnic and listen to music from the milkman. Someone's wrote this article. This exists.
Yeah, but who does this? Like, who's doing this? I've never seen a milk stand.
On August 12th. Why would Milkman Day be in the summer? That's not milk on us. Our day was a big mistake.
That's exactly why what I thought. It was a bad day to eat milk.
It's a bad day to celebrate milk. But here's an interesting stat. By 1975, 94% of milk was packaged and delivered in glass bottles. by the milkman. 94%. It's a lot.
Yeah, but they didn't have
a big drop. That, do you know what that tells me? That tells me that life is an ever-changing thing. That the milkman can dominate 94% of all consumed milk. And now...
How the fuck have you just made it philosophical? Life is an ever-changing thing.
I'm just saying, life changes.
How we talked about different ranges of milk changes. And now we've gone into the philosophical memoirs of a milkman.
Someone would have got into the milkman business and been like, I'm going to be here for a long time. And then, gradually, those percentages came down and down and down and down and down. It's a warning to Netflix.
Netflix, celebrate Milk Day or else. Milkman.
Before we wrap up this episode, I do want to get a thought on. It's old news now, but what is your thoughts on Netflix doing a cheaper subscription service that requires you to watch 5 minutes worth of adverts for every hour you consume on Netflix?
It's a bit like Spotify when you don't get premium or YouTube. Netflix.
Except you are paying for this Netflix still.
Yeah, but
it's not free.
Yeah, but Spotify isn't free, is it? If it's, or is it free?
Yeah, no. It's free with adverts. Yeah, but you can't do. There's a lot of features you can't use, obviously. But yeah.
Well, Netflix are too expensive. That's the bottom line of it. They make a lot of shows and they're losing a lot of subscribers.
It's $10 a month, aren't they? Yeah.
They're losing a lot of subscribers and they're trying to think of a way past this. And I think the stupid thing about Netflix is I think like how would you call it interface? You know, when you open up the home screen and you got all the options.
I'd say dashboard.
Or the dashboard or whatever. I think it gets worse and worse every time they update it to something new. The first one, beautiful. Like the first time I had Netflix, like 4 years ago, that was beautiful. You knew where to go and all that. And they keep updating it and they make it worse. Mm. The other thing I hate about them is, and I don't know if you get this problem with your TV, right? You know when you hover over something and it shows you a trailer and then you quickly go to the next one and that shows you a trailer. And then you quickly go to the next one and that shows you a trailer. By the fourth or fifth
autoplay. Yeah,
by the fourth or fifth one, when you select that one and you press play, it has video error because it keeps showing you trailers and you keep skipping it. Why the fuck? That should be optional. They shouldn't have a trailer. That should be an optional thing.
I'm also the same.
I hate that. Because I have to reboot Netflix.
It's very jarring to have bits of audio and video playing every time you're flicking through trying to find something. It puts me off. It is annoying. I actually mute the TV as I'm flicking through. And then I'll unmute it if I want to watch a trailer. But then, yeah, I'll mute it because I can't have that. You know, it just comes in like it's horrible.
The categories are too complicated now. Like Amazon, horror, supernatural, thriller, action, what's new, what's popular, what you might like. It's like that. You go on to like horror with Netflix and then you got slasher. You got gems, hidden gems. You've got ghouls and goblins. You've got monsters. You've got werewolves. You've got all of this. But you go through them and then you've got a movie that's in like four of them categories. And then you're just like, yeah, but how can that be a hidden gem but also be the top-rated one? Like, what's going on here? And it's just... it's convoluted. The whole system's convoluted. It's hard to know when anything is new on there unless it's a TV show. They're good at getting TV shows out there new, but they got too much stuff. There's some stuff that they highlight and there's some stuff that they don't. For example, Richard Linklater's new movies on Netflix. You wouldn't bloody know it because it's not advertised anywhere.
That's a problem. They push the stuff that they made, the Netflix originals. And I understand why they do that. It's business is business. But the problem is they make a lot of shit.
Hmm.
They make a lot of shit. And because they make a lot of shit and they're pushing out a lot of shit, you see a lot of shit and you're like, nah, I'm not having it. I'm not. There's nothing here. I'm not feeling it today. My favorite category on Netflix is recently added, because you go through that and it shows you everything, and then you can see what's on there. You can see the new stuff, because they'll put something new, or they'll just change the poster of something old and make you feel like it's new. And they're obviously just pushing it because they're like, oh, people aren't watching this one. Let's see if we can get more people to watch this one. Or the top 10 will be manipulated, and like 9 out of the top 10 will be originals. They'll throw in 1 or 2 just to be like, hey, it's not all Netflix. We do care about other things that aren't Netflix, but mostly watch our Netflix shows. Oh, yeah. I think that's their problem.
Or if they get a new season, that's their problem. I think there should be a little bit more history. Like when you get a new season, you got like continued watching, but you go into a new season, I think that should suddenly add back onto your continued watching, because they know you've liked it. You watch 4 fucking seasons of it, but sometimes it comes back and you don't even know it's come back. You have no idea. For example, there's the season of Rick and Morty. I wish Mork and Mindy was on there.
Mork and Mindy.
Rick and Morty. I haven't seen the new season of that. I didn't even know there was a new season of it. Season 5. Oh, I haven't watched it.
There you go. That's kind of surprising. They haven't really pushed
it. It was on my continued watching. Or even like the new Stranger Things didn't come up. I know it's still there, but like it used to bring that up. I swear it used to bring that up, continued watching, if it was a show that had added a new season or episode, bang, goes back to the middle again. Back to the list again. I just think there's too much on there. It's hard to navigate. Navigation is the worst of it, I think. It's really convoluted. And I think what they fucked up with, and I think they're trying to sort it out by doing the whole adverts, is they stopped people sharing accounts. Loads of people did that. Of people did that. And they didn't like it because they thought, oh, we're not getting money. But, hey, listen, that's for a limited time, because people fall out all the time and then suddenly, bang, you don't get your Netflix account anymore. So I don't think they thought about it. But, I mean, what's wrong with that? So if you want to share your subscription, you can share your subscription. It's not illegal. I don't believe that's illegal, you know.
No, I don't really get that. Obviously they're doing it because they're like, look, if we cut out all of these people that are sharing thingies and a few of them switch over and get their own, we've made X amount of money. So they were playing the numbers game there, weren't they? Because some people would be forced to get an account. But I can see why they're losing money, but I don't know, they've banked a lot on what they're doing as well at the same time. So they've put all their eggs in their original basket, and they've pumped a lot of money into some of their stuff. So you can kind of see where they're short, falling a little bit short. But I don't want to see Netflix go. I think what is interesting is when they do their I don't think they'll go, but it's kind of worrying signs that they're doing stuff like this to get more subscribers. I can't imagine anyone getting that account. It's the same price as what Netflix used to be as well.
I don't know why it keeps going up. I think Amazon doesn't. I think Amazon is, my Amazon is, it might have gone up. Maybe I never noticed it, but I feel like there's too many streaming services at the moment, and so people are picking and choosing. I think Amazon Prime is the number one, in my opinion, because with Amazon Prime, you get music and also you get Prime delivery. So that is, for me, that's number one, because there's more options to that.
Oh, yeah.
Disney is shooting up there a lot because you've got a lot of the Marvel stuff. Loads of people are into the Marvel. Obviously, for the kids, Disney's an easy one. So I think that's probably gone second now. And Netflix is third. It's tinkering because, you know, HBO Max, and then you've got Apple, and you've got all these others. And when the TV shows come, they think, hey, maybe I'll just cancel Netflix for a month and then use this one. I wonder at what point they're going to stop that and say that actually, if you buy this, you buy it for a year. It's an annual. You can't cancel it until after a year.
Can't back out of it.
Do you reckon they'll do that? Because that would fuck a load of streaming companies over. Because that's what I do. Like, so like, if there's something on something like Apple, I'll buy Apple for a month and then just try and watch as much as I can, but not renew it.
I think if they ever did that, that would be being very obvious that you're not putting the consumer first, because you should be able to opt in and out as much as you want. Because what's the point in you having an account for something that you don't watch anything on until... Like, I'm the same with Apple Plus. I tried and I was like, there's nothing really for me. Ted Lasso is the only thing I like. So I'll get it back when Ted Lasso returns. But that's how it should be. You shouldn't be like, you're locked in for a year. But you have to pay this.
Not even that.
Even though you watch a month's worth.
Not even that, though, but you can't watch too many streaming shows, platforms. There's just too many. There's already too many as it is. And then what do? I'll keep flicking on this one and that one. No, you just sort of see what's about, or you go, oh, I'll just have that for a month and just watch what I can while I've got it for a month. I think that's the easiest way to do it. I think you've got your main ones, Netflix, Amazon, and Disney, I think are your main ones. And some people might have an optional four, but I think you have three mains and then you sort of rotate the others.
Yeah. Absolutely, that's the way it should be. But all right, we'll stop it there, and we'll go on to what we're doing next week. Yeah. It's the final Halloween episode of the series, final one of the year. Who would have thought we've done two fucking Halloween months? This podcast has been going on for ages.
Yes, we're starting to talk about...
What are we doing?
Irrelevant stuff now. That just tells you how what much we hated Hocus Pocus, is that we were like, fuck's sake, let's talk about anything else but that movie.
That is true. But next week's episode is... It's not your episode.
Yeah.
It's our episode. So... Be prepared for the episode after. It will be your choice before we do the next episode, which is our episode again, and then it'll be my episode. I'm just getting that on.
I'm confused. So we don't. Okay, we'll talk about
next week is our episode
a little bit, and we can like fill
we'll talk about
you've been very vague with me, and it's confusing me.
Okay, I'll speak more clearly.
Okay,
when we start recording. Anyway, next week we are doing a ranked, and
yes.
Why don't you explain what the rank?
Well, last Halloween we did Halloween Kills. We went to the cinema and we went and saw Halloween Kills. Now, as you all are aware, Halloween Ends is officially out. It's been out for a week, and we wanted to review it, but we thought because it's Halloween Ends, it's the finale. That maybe we should rank the Halloween movies.
So they say.
So they say. But we all know
it's
not going to be the final for long. You know, it's a franchise.
You'd have to be stupid.
You have to be dumb. Money is money. And
fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Fool me thrice, shame on Mike Myers.
Franchise said it's the end. They said it's the end a million times. Yeah. But we'll assume right now it is. I think there's enough movies. 13 movies to rank?
Yep.
If I'm correct off the top of my head. No extra surprises from me. You're not going to throw in Halloween fucking cartoon series that aired for three episodes on fucking, I don't know.
I did look to see if there were any that we could add. But
I knew you'd try and find some.
There wasn't too much.
This is a straight head-to-head feature film fight off, isn't it now? Which is, I guess, kind of makes it more interesting.
But we have to do a little bit more clarity because... A lot of the names are the same. There's three movies called Halloween and two movies called Halloween 2. So we have to do a little bit of clarity.
I've got the year, I've got the director side by side for this one as well, just so I don't even confuse myself. Yeah, there's one thing you can say about Halloween is when they were going through, when they were doing all the little Halloween, you know, Mike Myers fucks a dolphin or something. Do you know what I mean? They didn't come up with many. They didn't come up with many.
Yeah, but why did they have to call that twice?
You're thinking...
So get it, he fucked a dolphin. Give it
another
name.
True. But that's not what the movie's about, you know? No. No, but some of the movies are just they were a bit uninventive. But I guess we'll get on to that.
I wonder if after Halloween Ends, like 5 years, okay, let's make a new Halloween movie. What should we call it? Let's call it Halloween. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. They want it's like the fourth one, yeah. But this is now going to be the prequel to Halloween. Mike Myers Goes Back to Dolphin. But we'll call it Halloween.
The problem with it is because it's a movie that's like the name is so perfect. Like the original name is so perfect. It wasn't like it was too long, and they could, you know what Hollywood's like. They love to shorten the title down. Like the Fast and Furious would just become Furious, you know, and then they'll just do shit like that. But Halloween, they can't be like Ween.
I don't know why they get afraid.
Mikey M.
Why do they get afraid of?
I'm surprised they haven't called it Myers.
Maybe one day. But why are they
that
afraid?
Wouldn't go down well.
Why are they afraid to just number them? I mean, why can't Halloween Ends be called Halloween 13? Why can't it just be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13? What?
Because they did that with Police Academy, and it all went to shit. That's the downfall of Police Academy is the fact that they were just like, 1, 2, fucking 50. You know what I mean? Because then you know the quality of the movie's gone down. It's been saturated at least 50 times.
It doesn't always go like that, does it? Sometimes it goes like that.
It does a lot. Yeah, okay, I suppose.
No franchise goes like that or that. It goes up and down. It's always up and down.
Very true. Anyway, that's what we're going to do next week. I'm looking forward to the episode because I have enjoyed this ranked list.
I've got one more to watch that I've got to try and get in, squeeze in.
Same. I have one more to watch, and do you know what? It's apparently a good one. The first one, apparently. It's one of the good sequels.
We're not doing the first one, are we?
I won't tell you what it is, but after doing research on one of them, they spoke a lot about that one and how good it was. So that's why I'm like, oh, fucking hell, I've left that one till last, and it's actually right. So we'll see. But yeah, Halloween ranked next week. Do I call the episode Every Halloween Movie Ranked? That makes it seem like we're ranking every Halloween movie ever made.
No, I think Halloween movie ranked is probably the correct name.
You could do Halloween Franchise Ranked. There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
That makes way more sense. Okay.
Featuring Mike.
You heard that live, people. The title of the next episode. Right. That's it. Goodbye.
See you next week.